Welcome back, dear listeners, to the Waiting Warriors podcast, the show that brings you inspiring stories, meaningful conversations, and heartfelt insights from military spouses and significant others. It's been a while, but we are here to reconnect with you and continue our mission to share important military spouse stories and resources. As many of you know, it's been a challenging couple of years for me. Life took a very unexpected turn, and our son James was stillborn, and I had to take a step back to heal, grieve, and find my way through the storm. During this time, your support and understanding has meant the world to me, and I am deeply grateful for so many kind messages, your patience, and the love you've shown. Now, with a heart that's healing, though honestly never the same, I am excited to bring this podcast back, and I have plans to make it even better than before. I had done a dozen or so interviews before we lost James, and since the guests and the content were so good, I can't not publish them, but for my mental health, I'm not going to edit them the same as I normally would. So please forgive any mistakes, any little weird things. But I am excited for you to hear these amazing military spouses. And then season two of the Waiting Warriors podcast will be coming shortly. Enjoy the interview.
Hey, Waiting Warriors, welcome to another week on the Waiting Warriors podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Bowler, and this week I am super excited to have Sarah Curtis, my new good friend. I like having new friends. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So Sarah is an Etsy shop owner. I almost said Etsy owner, but it's like she doesn't own Etsy.
Not really.
But she has a super cute shop with like... Face you know prints. What I mean.
Face prints.
Yeah. Face prints. Oh my gosh. I was like, pretty pictures of
the faces. I mean, that's,
you know, I should have just said that instead of staring blankly. Really pretty face prints. I really like them. She's a MILSO coach. She is a stay-at-home mom. Her husband has been active duty Air Force for 2 years after doing the ROTC program. And they have a one-year-old son who's really squishy and cute.
Yeah, I agree.
It's fun. So I know one thing that Sarah and I are both passionate about is that, like, we all have our own experiences. And I think it's really easy as military spouses. I would think most listeners of this podcast don't do it, but in the military spouse community in general, it's not uncommon to find people who are like there's a comedian like Brian Regan or something has a sketch where he's like, there's always that one person at a dinner party that is one-upping everybody. And it's like, turns into like, well, I walked on the moon. It's like,
cool. Yeah. I like the pity party.
Yeah. And it can happen often in the military spouse community of like I've been at places where there is a brand new spouse and our unit is deployed and it's her first one and she is having a hard time, and then this seasoned spouse whose, you know, husband was in when they were in Iraq, so they did like 18 month tours and back-to-back tours and all that kind of stuff, like there's this tender spouse who is just hurting. And then this other spouse is like, well, I did this and, this and this. Yeah. You know, I did this and this. And even if you don't say those exact words, you're fine. Like, it's just that feeling. Whereas I love that you so often on Instagram are just like constantly saying like what you are going through and feeling is very valid. And I think your experience gives you a lot of that empathy and sympathy. So yeah. I'm kind of dying for you to share your experience, because I know you've only been active duty for 2 years, and yet it has been like, we all know what 2 years in military service can mean, what it's been. So take us back a little bit. When did you guys meet?
So we met in college. We met like at church. I don't think we would have met otherwise. And instantly there was like this, like, wow, he's really cute, but like I'm intimidated, because one of the first times I ever saw him, he was in uniform. And I was like, he like said hi to me as in passing. And I was like, oh my gosh, he knows my name. Like, it was like very like, he knows a lot of things and I don't. And so I just like need to stay away from this guy. It was like really intimidating for some reason, but he was really friendly. And we kind of started out just as friends, like, you know, hey, like, what's your name? Do you want to, like, he didn't even ask me on a date for a while because he was just like, I don't know, like, what do I do? So started as friends, and then we kind of like started doing more together, started dating. And I remember he took me to like, on a double date, it was like one of our first dates. And he took me with like one of his friends that was in the ROTC program. And they were about all this stuff, like where they wanted to be stationed, and because it's like one of their last years before they were going to graduate. And I was like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, I thought he was in the Army for the longest time, but he's in the Air Force, so that's cool. Like, that's in my so mind good. It was just like the military is the Army, and then from there you go, like, you know, you're specialized in the Air Force. That's not how it works. And I did not know that. Like, I just have had no, like, 0% military experience in my life. So going from nothing to like dating a guy that was in, like, in the midst of, like, he was about to commission, become an officer and go active duty. And I was like, yeah, this is like not gonna be a big deal, won't really affect us. It's gonna be like, he's got a 7-year commitment, but like, that's nothing. Like, I love him, I'm just gonna get married, it's gonna be fine. And then he commissioned, and we were, I think, a year and a half into dating, and we got like active duty orders to go to Florida. And I was like, my crap. Like, I don't know what to expect. And it was right in the middle, like, COVID kind of hit March 2020. And that's like almost exactly when we got his first like orders to move. And we moved in May, and we got here. And it was like, you know, your 10 days of you house hunting and, you know, in processing and stuff. And like, we were so confused. Like, we didn't know if we could stay on the base or if that was a thing. I didn't have an ID, so I had to try and figure out how to get an ID so that I could be seen by a doctor on base. It was just like so overwhelming all at the same time. And I was pregnant. So like, all of that kind of just like happened all at once. And it was really overwhelming in the sense that, like, I just felt so inadequate. Even, like, he didn't really know what he was doing either, but, like, I just, like, felt like I couldn't talk to anybody because everyone would just think I'm dumb, or, like, I couldn't approach anybody with if I had questions because they'd be like, it's right there, like, So it was just like, it was very isolating, and COVID didn't help, obviously. But even without COVID, it would have been just like a huge, like, life-changing stop. So,
yeah. So lesson number one, or takeaway number one, you're not dumb if you have questions. Exactly. We all have those questions, or we all have had them. And to be like, we have been in the military 10 years. There are still acronyms that people say where I'm like, I've got no idea. And I will say, like, I always, if Austin's ever talking, I'm not one of those spouses who's just like glazes over when their husband starts speaking acronym. Like, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? So I feel like I kind of, you know, I've been trying, and still there are acronyms I don't know. So, like, there are a bajillion, literally a bajillion things in the military that nobody except for the person who is specialized in that job knows.
Yes.
So just ask the question, please.
Oh my gosh. Like, there's like 5 acronyms that all mean the same thing, but like, they have a different like meaning for a different area, or like a different branch has a different meaning for that same acronym.
Yeah. Because heaven forbid that the branches do things slightly in a similar way so we could help each other out a little bit.
Right. So, you
know, that would just be easy. So whirlwinds, like that's the only not swear word I can think of to like properly describe
accurate
what can happen in military life, right? Like it is just a whirlwind. It's very overwhelming. It's a ton of stuff. And like it may seem like if it was just one thing, you know, like being pregnant on its own, all women can attest to is overwhelming and emotional and all that kind of stuff. Moving on its own is overwhelming and emotional and hard and all just a whirlwind, and you add them all together because that's always what happens, is it's like they get added to get together in military life. So it's
one thing,
a whirlwind. Yeah. So they're common. And I know you've experienced even more than what you've shared. So what has been your experience with whirlwinds in this military life? And then like kind of after you explain what your experience has been, what has been the, I don't know if like good and bad is the right way, because I don't, like there's no shame in how we handle things, but what kind of what you view as like what helped you succeed and what didn't, I guess maybe that's a better way. Do you know what I mean? Like, and yeah, obviously yeah. No, whatever you're sense. Comfortable with sharing, but I think it's really helpful when we can just be honest with each other and be like, look, we all go through these whirlwinds and I tried this and you know what, honey, it didn't work very great. You can try it if you want, but it didn't work great for me. I think those are helpful to share too. So kind of good and, again, not good and bad, but kind of successful and not successful.
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. There have been lots, which some happened before I met him, some during, and then some happened like after we got married. Probably one of the first experiences I have once we got married that actually didn't have anything to do with the military at all is that I got diagnosed with MECFS. It's myalgic encephalomyelitis chronic fatigue syndrome, which basically in a tiny, tiny nutshell, I'm exhausted all the time, need to drink pounds and pounds of water, and like almost always have to have my feet up. And like, even just like saying that makes me laugh because I just can't do that as a human. I have too many things to do. But that was probably the first big thing in life after marrying Chase that was like very like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, because of that, to drop out of school, and I got a job, but I had to reduce my hours because it was too exhausting. And then right after that, I also got diagnosed with, what is the specific term for it? It's called persistent depressive disorder and like generalized anxiety disorder. And that explained a lot of what was going on. And I don't think that the two like separate diagnoses had anything to do with each other, but those were two things that were really huge that impacted me and our marriage together to the point where it was like, leave, like when you go active duty, like, am I gonna need to like live with my family while you go and do all these things without me?
Mm-hmm.
Which was like kind of scary and overwhelming. And I think that's kind of the point where I realized, like, you know, not what I got myself into per se, but more just like realizing the impact of like what it was going to, like what life was going to look like.
Yeah.
And
I think you can ask that question without the negative connotation that it has, because that's a real question. Like, what did I do? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not necessarily that I'm going to go back on it, but you actually have to look at what it means. Because kind of like what you're saying, like, that those diagnoses have nothing to do with military life, but because you're in the military, they have everything to do with military life. And it completely changes your life when you add the whirlwind of the military. Yeah.
Yeah. And then from that, then we got the orders, and then I found out I was pregnant, and then we moved to Florida. And then after that, we were there, bought a house, and then he left for his first training, probably all within maybe 4 months, 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then he left while I was like, I think I was 7 months pregnant. And with all of the things that I have going on with my body, pregnancy was really hard. And then you add on like a separation, and it was a chosen separation, but it was a really choice, because this was, I had three options: stay at home in Florida by myself, hope that Chase comes home in time for me to give birth, and so I have to the hospital. And that kind of option, that kind of just like fizzled out pretty much immediately. That wasn't really viable. Option two was to go with him to training. Allowed to do, they would let me, and we would be able to live off base and everything would be fine. But I didn't know schedule, so I don't know if he would be available to take me to the hospital, or if he was gonna like be in a secret room where he can't have any wire, like any phones on him or anything. And that was kind of like not a good option for my situation in life. And so my third option was to go live with my family, which I ended up doing. And I'm so, so glad I did. To your point, you know, not good versus bad, but, you know, things that helped versus things that didn't. For me, the best option was to go live with family. I'm just like, it was hard being separated from him, because I had a friend, and I love her, and she's probably going to listen to this, and so this is not to be mean, but I had a friend who, her husband went to the exact same training. They actually, like, roomed together, and she chose to stay behind. She doesn't have kids, but she's got dogs. She could have gone with him, and she chose, and that bugged me for the longest time, because I was like, you should be so grateful to be able to go with him. Like, I have to be by myself, pregnant, with all of these emotions, all of these health issues. Can't be with him. And that bugged me for so long. And I think that's why I am so, so focused on letting everybody do what is best for them. Focus on what works for you, because for them, I don't know what was going on, but that's what worked best for them. Like, that worked, and they're still happily married and everything's great with them. But like for us, that was our best option, was for us to be separated. And not like it's the best option, you know. The best option is it doesn't happen at all. But with what we were given, that's what happened, which is great.
Or even also, like, whether it was the best decision or not, because I know there have been times where we have had to make, I mean, not the same decision, but like
hard decisions.
Hard decisions of really like, my first choice is none of them, you know? Yeah. And looking back, I don't know if we chose what was best. Maybe the other one would have been best. But what's interesting is, like, even I think if we just even give ourselves and then the people around us some grace, and like they made the best decision they could. Like, and that's all, like, there should be no judgment amongst us, because they, like, they're adults. They have their own thoughts. They had their own thought process, and they chose what was they thought was best at the time. Maybe they'll learn that it was a bad idea. Maybe they won't. But like, we just have to give the love and community that we all want, because we've all made mistakes, and like, well, you could have just been nice to me about it, because it was already sucking because I chose it. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, I think something that I've learned, and I think why we're such good friends with that specific couple still, is that, like, we learned, I think Chase and I, like my husband and I both learned together, that like our experiences throughout this journey are, even if we're going through the same trainings, same pipeline, same days as everybody else, our experiences are vastly different than those around us. And like, that's why, okay, this is going to slightly get off topic, but that's why I mainly focus on facts, and I don't focus on the emotional side of it, purely because there are so many different, like, people just have different experiences. So that's also why I'm a coach, because then I can do that one-on-one. But like, I think that's why I pulled everything together in the way that this, my whole business is formatted, of, you know, presenting facts, helping people know like who to call when you need this done with TRICARE, or like, you know, you've got to sign up for dental insurance and get it as a dependent, like things like that. That, I mean, I didn't. So I'm assuming nobody, like somebody else, wouldn't know. And then having the other side of it, the very emotional, raw, supportive side of it, that's one-on-one individual, so that I can know people's experiences and know exactly what's going on without just saying, you know, for some people, like what you need to hear is just like, you know, forget about the bad and just enjoy what's going on now, what you have now. But like, for other people, like that is not the thing to say, you know, like this might be a really hard time. And so like what you need to be is just supportive, like be there, just like literally just be present and just say like, hey, I'm here if you need me, you know? So that's why, yeah, through all of this, through what I've learned, I think is everybody has very different experiences, which is how it's supposed to be. And so being intentional about how you support others, about how you support your friends, and just like how you would want others to do the same for you. I think that's probably the biggest thing. The biggest thing I've learned through all of this, but through being a military spouse at all, is just everyone's different. And what works for one will not work for other people. You know, like it's just, it's just different. There's just, everybody is so unique. So,
Well, no, I totally feel it. And that's why I want to interview so many military spouses, and because we, like, I can get one thing from you that will really help me and one thing that will help from somebody else. And then I form my own thing instead of like, you know, there's just nobody else around that's going to be exactly like you. Okay. So you kind of left us on a slight cliffhanger. What happened with the birth of your baby? What was your husband there? Like,
so to give you a spoiler, he did make it, but we, just to drop that cliffhanger off for you, we ended up, so through, like, as he was nearing the end of his training, it was like a two-part training that was in the same place, but they had a break in between. It was like over the holidays, and so they were trying to make it work. He had a very unwilling boss, not like flexible at all, which was so frustrating. And that boss went on his own paternity leave, which I think is the most frustrating part, as he was going through the same thing. But he went on his own paternity leave, a new boss came in, and they were able to get Chase on a flight, maybe like a week before my son was born. But like, I didn't know when he was supposed to be born. So his due date was on December 12th, but then it got moved up to the 8th for some weird reason. So we had like this window, I don't know, who knows? We had this window of time where like he was given leave, and it was like, you have, like, since you're new, you only have like, it was like 5 or 6 days saved up. So that's all you can use. So like, go use it. If she doesn't have the baby by then, you have to come back. Like, that's the law. Like, you have to do that. And so we talked with my doctors, and they were like, this is very important that your baby's healthy, you know, and that he's comes on time, but willing to induce you if it comes down to it, if you need it. So I was going to be induced the day before he needed to leave, ended up actually going into labor 2 days before, which so much nicer than being induced. I mean, I haven't experienced it, I guess, but sounds nicer.
It's a last resort. I will just, and again, everybody's different. And I get, like, there are situations, because we've been in a similar situation where it's like, no,
this,
like,
has to happen right now.
Yeah. If you can avoid it, I would. I'll just, my 2 cents. Anyways, I'm glad you were able to avoid
it. Oh no, me too. Then he was able to take his paternity leave after that. So he was able to stay. But it was like, I mean, it was like 37 weeks pregnant, like really already emotional. I have been missing my spouse for like 3 months now, like alone. I mean, I had my family, but they didn't, I don't know. It was just, it was different because it's just different. you can't cuddle your family at night and like talk about your deepest, darkest feelings. Like, I don't know. It's just different. So yeah, it ended up working. And then we all went, like me and my son and my husband, all went back to his training, finished his training. We went home. And then we went to another training, came back, and now we're back until the next training. So
yeah,
it's just exhausting.
That's why you had a reel on Instagram where it was like a picture from each month of the year. Mm-hmm. I was like, why are you traveling the country?
Oh, me with too.
A like tiny baby. That makes so much more sense now.
Yeah,
it was but great. You know what? I should have known better. I should have known. That like that's what
it is. It's some people like Chase was one of the few people in his like his group that had a wife and kids or mm-hmm. kid, I guess. And so most people like were just like, you know, hopping from place to place. And then once they got here at the end of it, finally like bought a house or whatever. But for us, it was like, we need roots. We need a place to put our furniture. Like, so it was all of that moving was back and forth from training to like from him being born to training home to training to home. I think that explains it. But
I feel like if you mapped it out, you know, in the detective guy, Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. When he's like making the map, like that's what military life would look like. As you were saying that, like that's our life. Yeah. This is what we're doing.
Like trying to connect the dots of like, yeah. I was listening to one of your episodes and you were trying to remember how old your daughter was in a specific deployment, and I was like, I haven't even been in that. Like he hasn't been in that long, but I can already relate. Like. No idea where we were this whole year. So,
like, was my baby born or was I pregnant? I honestly can't remember. I can't
like literally either. No idea.
Yeah,
that's why we have pictures and phones.
Sure, sure. I need Facebook memories to remind me how old everybody was. Otherwise, I don't have anything. Nope. So, what ways has being a waiting warrior helped you grow through all of this ridiculousness?
Yeah, I think that even if I hadn't started anything to help others, I think so much of my growth has been very individual. Like, obviously, my relationship has grown with my husband a ton, but I have learned so much self, who I am and what I can handle, what I can't handle, like what I am okay with. And what I'm not, like, just like, so I think so much about this whole journey, even though it's only been like 2 years, so much has been jam-packed into it that I, like, if I was to look back, like when we got married, I'm completely, completely different person, like, and in good way, you know, but like, understanding more about like how I'm reliant on my husband and I need him for support and emotional things, but I'm also like, I am capable of doing things. I can run my household by myself if I need to. Like, just so many, I think I've just found, I don't know if it's like I've learned more or if I've uncovered more about myself and like gaining more knowledge or just like realizing what's already there. But
yeah,
just
that's beautiful.
Well,
that's really beautiful. But I love how you say that, because I think so often we hear, and even I, as you were saying it, like I'm realizing that that's really what I believe, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm always saying like that I've learned about what I can handle. But I love that you added like what you're okay with and what you're not. Like, though the knots, I think we always just associate with and have a huge negative connotation with, but they're actually really important and really vital, because we don't just have to be happy about everything all the time. It's okay to not like certain aspects of certain things, because recognizing that and that self-awareness lets you build a life and a plan and a coping mechanism and a support for yourself that will actually help you, instead of just like, this is what helps a military spouse. It's, this is what will help you, because you're aware of what you like, what you can't handle. And it's,
yeah. And I mean, another, well, another thing to know is like, you're not going to be a military spouse forever. Like you're, they're going to retire at some point. They're going to be forced to retire if you want to stay that long. But like, there's going to be a time where like, you're not having these experiences anymore. You're not having to move every couple of years. And like, you're not having to pack up your house all the time. You're not having to find your kids like new doctors. And like, you don't have to do that anymore. And so like, yeah, one of the things I've been talking about recently is like that being a military spouse is just one aspect of your identity. You know, that's just one title that we use to describe ourselves. But like, if that's all that you hold on to when they do decide to leave, or when they are medically discharged, or when you don't have a choice when they leave, you know, or like something like, heaven forbid, like they pass away, like you, I don't want to say that you need to have more to you than that, but that's kind of what I'm trying to say. It's like, there is so much more to you than just, you know, being forced to do everything, being forced to go to all these places. Like, you have, I think we give ourselves such little credit for how much we can control in our lives.
Yeah.
Especially when we talk about like, you know, finding willingness to go explore the new place have been forced to move to, but like, you know, finding like a new date night spot, like finding the good, even though it's through experience that you can't control, you can still control how you're viewing, how you're experiencing the experience. So like, one of the things that was difficult for us was like, throughout all of these trainings, and I mean, for many people, you are not living near family. And so your family doesn't get to watch, like, they don't get to watch your kids grow up. They see them on FaceTime every now and then, and maybe get to see them like twice a year, if you're lucky, you know. That was something
we just saw grandparents for the first time in 2.5 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It just like hurts my heart. Like, that was something that was really hard for us, because family is really important to us. And that's something that we really wanted to make sure was like, family is very integrated into our lives, even though we're far apart. Something that like, we've discovered is like, it doesn't, like, we don't have to be, like, we don't have to be miserable. Like, we can just FaceTime them. Like, we have communication. We have the power to, you know, call them and be like, hey, like, we'd love to show you our son, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's also made our own family unit stronger of like, you know, we are our family. Like, this is our family, and we can go out and do things and experience all these things together. And I don't know, it's just, it's like, it's challenging and difficult, but there's also like beauty in the trials.
Yeah.
If you're, if you let yourself see them.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And again, I just love how you said that it's an uncovering. Like, the strength is already there. It's not because you're a military spouse. It's because you're you.
Yeah.
It's like, and the military spouse life is just pulling that out. But I love that you're saying, like, it's there. It's you. And you just become aware of it is a really beautiful thought. Last question, and I'm excited for your answer. What is your key to thriving that you want to share with your fellow waiting warriors?
Oh my gosh. I think embracing your own unique journey and your own unique experience, and not like how we talked about earlier, not playing the comparison game, not necessarily even like, you know, you had it worse than me, but just like, oh, they got to go to this place and I didn't, even if it's not a bad thing, but you know, like embracing what your experiences are, what you have been able to achieve, and not focusing on others. Like, you don't have to like have blinders on to like not be able to see everybody, but it's like see-through blinders where like, you know, everybody's there, but they're kind of blurred. Like, you know, you can see, like, I'm really excited, like, that we get to move in a year, but, like, other people are, like, going to cooler places. But that's okay, because, like, this is my life, this is my experiences, and, like, just because someone has, like, a different experience doesn't diminish experiences, my value, and my importance. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like that for me, that's like I've been like the most is just, you know, focusing on myself and my journey and being excited for others when other things happen for them, you know. But yeah,
that's my I love it experience.
Yeah,
I love it. It's good. It's a good and important just mentality and mindset to have in like all and just every single aspect of life. Like one of my friends calls it the kryptonite of like all women, because she like helps business women in business and stuff. And it's like she just has a bajillion. I'm saying bajillion a lot today. Sorry, <That's> she has a lot of examples of how just comparison is the kryptonite that just destroys us. And when we stop comparing and just can cheer everybody on and be happy that they are going on their journey and we're going on ours, then it changes so many things. And I think it's just as powerful for business as it is the clothes you wear, as it is the fact that somebody else gets to stay stationed somewhere for 5 years, and in 5 years I'm gonna have moved like 4 times, you know. Like we just, it just doesn't help. It just doesn't help. And it's, yeah, yeah, it's good.
So it's not like it's gonna make you feel any better. I feel like it just makes you feel worse. So
Exactly. So Sarah, if somebody wants to get in touch with you or follow you on Instagram or whatever, I mean, I follow you on Instagram, but I don't know if that's the best way. If somebody wants to follow along your story, learn some more, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, it probably would be on Instagram. So it's at A Military Wife's Life, and I'm on Instagram, and you can DM me on Instagram. I try to answer as many DMs as I can. And I've also got my blog, amilitarywifeslife.com. I am happily, like, I'll happily, like, give you an advice and encouragement. And I love being able to meet new people who have had different experiences than me. It's just like, so much from each other. So I would love to connect with you. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, guys, go say thank you to Sarah. Let us know on Instagram. If you listen, take like a screenshot or something, say what your little golden nugget, what stood out, what was helpful, what wasn't. I absolutely love it when people send me messages. Nobody's been brave enough to do like a story or screenshot, but I love it when people send me messages saying, you and this person were talking about this, and I immediately thought that the opposite was best for me. I was like,
but hey, funny. It brought up a thought that this was best for you. So
exactly. I love that. So I double dog dare somebody to do it on stories.
Do it. And I have no shit whatsoever. Yeah. Call me out, and I'll gladly have a conversation with you.
I would love that. And I will share it, and I'll put like a good song in the background saying like, yeah, you're probably right. You do you, girl, type thing.
That's how it is.
Let us know what you think, guys. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show. And Waiting Warriors, just remember, you're doing a really good job. Like a really good job. Have a good week, guys. Bye.
Hey, Waiting Warriors, if you are in the middle of a deployment, heading into one, or shoot, you're just a military spouse who wants to like get ahead of the deployment game, I have created a free resource just for you. It's a PDF file called 3 Ways to Set Up Your Marriage for a Successful Deployment. It is 3 quick things that you can do with your spouse that I've done with mine that really helped us through our number of separations. If you're watching on YouTube, there will be a link just in the caption. You can go to my website, thewaitingwarriors.com, and there's a yellow link with it on the top right, or you can go to subscribepage.com/3, like the number 3, ways to set up your marriage for a successful deployment. Okay, there will be a link in the bio in the show notes if you need it. Go check that out. Please take care of yourself, take care of your marriage, be intentional, and let me help you through this.